or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified. God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. To God be the praise and glory, now and forever. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What I read from John's Gospel is not the customary reading for Maundy Thursday. Maybe you know that if you've been coming to many Maundy Thursday services over the years. Of course, the trajectory was similar. We get the name Maundy from mandatum, Latin word meaning commandment. Mandate is the word we know in English. Jesus' mandate to love one another. "Just as I have loved you," he says, "you should love one another." What is interesting is that what is carefully excised in our typical reading for Maundy Thursday is this interplay that I read you with Judas. And what is left out is Jesus' declaration, "The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me," which quite literally could mean that this one has already walked out on Jesus, turned his back on being a disciple. The lectionary then leaves out verses 21 through 30, which depicts Jesus between Judas, the betrayer, and the disciple, the beloved one. Even once Judas is called out, his departure seems to be a mystery to the other disciples, whom we are told wondered if Jesus gave him an errand or whether he was going to give money to the poor. I wonder sometimes why this portion has been carefully extracted. Maybe it's because this whole interplay with Judas is seeming a distraction from Jesus' great words that he gives us. Maybe it's the mention of Satan, which we've all kind of shied away from talking about. Maybe it's because we don't want to face the betrayer. You see, I think we can't plumb the depths of what is new about this commandment Jesus gives without taking into account everyone who is at the table. One little word seems to tie together the betrayer and Jesus' sense of fulfilling the mission. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified with him." We sang about it. The act of the betrayer is what propels the events into the week. It's what ultimately leads Jesus to the cross, if it weren't for Judas getting paid off. Would Jesus have made it there? Maybe. But I think there's something deeper going on here too. I think it's this holy mystery that a new commandment Jesus gives to love is not just for those who treat us well, who are always loyal, who are willing to sacrifice for us. See, the love that God has for us is a love of sinners, betrayers, those who would not accept the gift of Christ in their midst at times led astray by idols, by temptations, by greed, by self-serving. It is only, I believe, in understanding that Jesus equally communes with both that we understand the depth of the love of our Savior for the world. So when Jesus said that it was a new commandment that he was giving them, it was not new because they never heard it. It was not new because Jesus said, we are to love even those who are sometimes hard to love. They're not our friends. No, it's new because it is so deep that it loves people while still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a perfect love. This is a perfect love that we can never hope to achieve on our own. This is a perfect love that only our Savior can give us through his life. You see, love that is grounded in Christ is not subject to whims of sentiment. It is a love instead that does not return evil for evil. It is a love that is honest, as Jesus was about Judas. It's righteous, and it's resolute in response to the darkness of sin that is around us. And so if it is to love one another as he loved us means all this, then our journey of discipleship is never over. We have to come again and again to hear our Savior's forgiveness for us, to live that forgiveness for one another. And in our culture, in our time, in our world, there are opportunities abound. Acts of violence, broken trust, things that happen in our news, things that happen in our daily lives. So between the beloved and the betrayer, the faithful and the faithless, the devoted and the doubter, stands our Savior, who in the arms of the cross unites all people to himself. And he started at a table, and he finished it on a cross. His life spans the depth of humanity, and he has one single message. I did this all for you. Amen. Our affirmation of faith is printed in your bulletin. I invite you now to stand as you're able. And using the words that are from our church's Confession of 67, let us confess what the church believes. To be reconciled to God. Friends, this is the table of our Lord. The table he sat at was probably bigger. It fit a lot more people. From this night of his arrest through the succeeding generations, Jesus' disciples have continued to come to a table around the world in many cultures, in many settings, for this holy meal. As he did that night in Jerusalem, so ever since, in all times and places, Christ meets us here. We are included in the feast. the betrayers, the beloved, the faithless, the faithful, the devoted, and the doubters. In bread broken and cup poured out, tonight we remember the full extent of Christ's love for us, that he did it all for us, and we give thanks. So come, let us join the whole communion of saints as we celebrate this feast.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
You sent your Son, Jesus, for the healing of the world, that we might learn to follow his life of humility and share in the joy of his glorious resurrection. And so we praise you as we say,
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
On the night before he died for us, Jesus gathered his friends for a meal. He took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come in glory.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this bread and upon this wine, and that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with Christ in his suffering, that we may also know his glory, and strengthen us to reveal your justice until all are made whole again in your kingdom without end. Amen.
And now we join in a household prayer of God, saying together, Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The bread that we break, is it not sharing in the body of Christ?
The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? Friends, every time we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus for us. We remember that he did it all for us. As you come forward tonight, I want you, as you walk, to think about the life Christ gave. And as you take in the bread and the cup, think about how that nourishes you for this time as we walk to the cross together. Come, all is prepared.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. O Lord our God, we leave from this table knowing a love beyond our deserving. Thank you for giving us a place at your table, for serving us the bread of life, for offering to us, even to us, the cup of salvation. In humility and hope, we go now from this night toward your promised day. In Christ we pray.